Yeah, buddy. It is Classes of Mail time. I have a special guest today. Oh my God, I love special guests, especially when they are this special. I am joined. Oh, hi, I'm Alan Gigax. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. I am here with Fred Woodley. Fred, say hi to everybody.
Woo!
Yeah, buddy.
Finally aligned, Alan.
Yeah, this has been in the works. Well, I guess you must have, I don't know if we ever even recorded together at the convention. I think we did one episode at the convention of Classes of Mail.
How can you forget the best episode you recorded at the National Convention?
It was, yeah, you're probably right about that. You know, oddly enough, the episode with Corey Walton wound up being the most downloaded, of course, because he has his own big following. But there was one with
you
me.
You can't count that.
No,
that's
I
like
agree.
Me counting the Renfro episode.
Well, we're going to talk about that. But yeah, my next most downloaded after that wound up being the one that Michael and I just were reviewing, like, our thoughts on the convention. And that wound up getting big download numbers. But here we are. Now we really have our feet under us as podcasters. And now it's time to sit down and have a chat. And I would love to do more of this. I want to have other podcasters on here as well. I've had John Murphy on, of course, Corey Walton on, and I think you're my first return fellow podcaster. So look at that.
Okay, I'm setting the standard right here.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Yeah, everybody else, all the other podcasters, you are on notice.
What's funny is we've been talking about getting together to record again since the National Convention.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, this is a kind of a cool thing that grew out of that is like Fred and I actually will call and just talk with each other and like what's going on in our branches, what's going on the national level. And Fred has been, I mean, you know, if you listen to Classes of Mail, Fred has been a source of tremendous insights. You have this level of experience with the union and how the union operates that I simply don't have. And when you say, well, you know, your president's probably going to do this or Renfro's probably going to do that, you're right pretty much every time.
And it's not from having any type of powers of prophecy or anything. It's just branches across the country tend to mirror each other. So when you see it happen in one place, it typically happens in another place when the exact same patterns of behavior are enacted.
Yeah, that makes sense. I get feedback like that on this podcast where, you know, there'll be some carrier in a faraway place that says, man, my branch is having the exact same problem that your branch is having. And yeah, there really are these patterns. You are exactly right.
Well, you remember there was one episode that I did where I was talking about the poor branches out there that are trying to make a difference, and they show up and it's like you're walking into the nursing home filled with retirees that are there to stop whatever the changes from actually happening.
Oh, I remember that very well, because then at the next meeting I walked in and it was like it was a nursing home.
Well, do you remember what you told me? You said, I listened to that and it was like it really hit close to home, like you were talking about me.
Yeah.
And I had a few different people email in saying, was that my branch you were talking about?
Well, that's how you know you're doing something right. All right, so let's get back to the introduction. For those of you who don't know already, Fred Woodley is the host of the Delivering Solidarity podcast. I highly recommend Delivering Solidarity. Fred gives great information. He has fantastic insights on what's going on at the national level, insights into the contract, things like that. When you search Delivering Solidarity, his logo is like a mailbag with a fist in it. And it is an excellent podcast. It's not the official podcast. Fred is the president of Branch 385 in Youngstown, Ohio. And Fred, am I right that this is not the official podcast of your branch?
Oh, no, it is not affiliated with my branch whatsoever, other than the fact that I'm a member of the branch.
There you go. Yeah, so Fred does what a lot of other postal podcasters do. He has this disclaimer that he calls the legal stuff. And Fred, talk to me a little bit about why you do a disclaimer like that and what the content of the disclaimer is.
Well, in the olden days, that is the concept stage of Delivering Solidarity, I originally wanted to do an unofficial Branch 385 podcast.
All right.
And I talked about it a little bit the last episode I was on, but for summary purposes, I was in a very contentious election, and About just slightly less than half the branch wasn't happy that I got elected to be the president. All right. At that point in time, there wasn't a whole lot of support for me doing a podcast and actually attaching it to the branch. And then I got to thinking about it too, and it's just much better for every purpose imaginable that it just be a private endeavor of my own than to actually be an official branch podcast.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there are standards for officer speech that are different from member speech in terms of the things that you can say. If you're speaking as an officer of the branch, there's like a higher standard of like talking about people and policies and things like that, right?
Yes. And since the olden days, the first few episodes, I have gotten away from, I try not to talk about people at all because it tends to have repercussions even when it's not an official podcast.
I've noticed that too. Yes. Yeah, I, you are right about that. Add that another piece of Fred's wisdom. Yeah, you are exactly.
Especially when you're the branch president or any type of officer, they tend to frown on that type of talk.
Yeah, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. All right, so you are in Youngstown, Ohio, or, well, the branch is based in Youngstown, Ohio. What, you're from one of the AOs, right? One of the associate offices?
Yes, I actually work in Warren, Ohio, which is our biggest AO. It's the only other office in our branch that has more than one unit in the installation.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so the only thing I know about Youngstown, Ohio is the Penguins, the Youngstown State Penguins. It's probably one of my favorite college sports mascots. The Penguins got the little scarf on, like a little Chili Willy out there on the hockey arena or whatever. So aside from Youngstown State, what else is there? What's going on in Youngstown?
Youngstown is known for quite a few things. Back in the day, it used to be it's still called the Steel Valley because there used to be steel mills everywhere.
Okay.
A lot of them have reopened to a smaller capacity.
Making steel again?
Yes, or some type of byproduct.
Okay, that's cool. Right on.
Yeah, actually, a few of them in the area have expanded and added a lot of jobs in recent years.
Right on.
But it's still nowhere near where it was in the heyday.
Ah, but Youngstown's coming back. Nice.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe to say.
Cool.
Youngstown does seem to be bouncing back. A couple mayors ago really invested in the city, tore down a lot of the defunct structures, gave businesses money to start up in Youngstown.
Right on. Right on. That's cool. Okay, so aside from the Penguins and the steel mills, let's talk about your branch and the things that are going on in Youngstown. I want to know, when you started delivering solidarity, like back, how long has it been going now? For like 2 years, something like that?
It's hard to say because, you know, for a while there, I was hit or miss when I would release the episodes.
Yeah.
I've gotten more consistent with it when it's not a holiday week.
Sure, sure. But all right, so talk about, what I really want to talk about is like podcasting in general and what it's like to be a podcaster doing a postal podcast. So tell me, when you're a part-time officer, right, that you still deliver mail most of the time, right? Or most days you still deliver mail?
Most days I deliver mail for the first 4 hours I'm on the post office clock. So I case, and then I do a couple hours on the street.
All right, so that means
lately I've been...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just lately I've been carrying all day on Fridays now.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so that means that you're on the workroom floor with actual other carriers. Do they talk to you about your podcast?
Sometimes.
Okay.
More often than not, they don't talk to me face-to-face, but after I release an episode, I'll start getting text messages from the people in my office about little things that they heard in the episode.
Aha. Give me an example. Like, what kind of stuff are they? Praise? Like, hey, I heard that. I love your take on the overtime provisions.
It depends on the episode what the feedback will be. During my Brian Renfro interview one, a lot of the feedback was, you should have been asked to that guy.
Right.
Along that, all right, lines. Well, you were too friendly to him.
Right. Let's get into that right now then. Let's talk about your interview with Brian Renfro. So this is a big score in the early days of delivering solidarity. And I'm going to put it out right now. In fairness to you, we didn't know a lot of the things we now know about Brian Renfro back then when you interviewed him. So
No.
Right. So talk to me about how you got this interview, how you made it happen, and then we'll get into like what the fallout was.
Well, the fun thing is I didn't actually request an interview with Brian Renfro.
Okay.
I reached out to National because I was trying to get our letter carrier political fund coordinator to come on my podcast to talk about the political fund.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, that's always a good thing to plug. And, you know, you've talked about it on your episode. And I talked about it on mine on the episodes where Eric Ellis guested it on our shows.
Yes, indeed.
It's a very important thing. And if you guys have not listened, check out the Eric Ellis episodes because every letter carrier should be contributing to the letter carrier's political fund.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Yeah, I highly recommend the Letter Carrier Political Fund. It's now feels more important than ever that we have this influence in Congress.
Definitely.
Okay, so you're trying to get this political activist on. You sent an email.
I was trying to get him on here, and I sent an email to Brian Renfro because first I reached out to him directly. I was told you got to ask Brian because Brian's in charge, you know.
Right, like people need to get permission from him to do stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess, you know, people are just scared that they're going to get sent back out to carry mail if they make their own decision.
Yeah. So. The fate worse than death.
Yeah. Fate worse than death. You gotta put this bag on and you gotta walk door to door and put paper in boxes. It's right. Horrible.
Exactly. Okay. So you reach out to Renfro's office. You say, hey, I want to have this political organizer on.
I reach out to Renfro the first time and he ghosts my email, doesn't respond.
Okay, sounds about right.
About 4 days.
Yeah.
4 days later, I forward it back to him because I'm pretty persistent. Like, I'm not going to just go away when you ignore me.
Mm-hmm.
So I forward the email back to him, and I was like, hey, you know, maybe you didn't see this.
Right.
I'm asking to have this guy on. This time I get a response, and it is Brian himself, and he's like, hey, you know, I'd love to come on your podcast and talk about the Letter Carrier's Political Fund or anything else you want to talk about.
How about that? Dude won't even do his own podcast, and he's going to come on Delivering Solidarity. Dude, that's great. Okay.
Well, my thought process was, you know, I didn't ask to have you on, but if you're going to come on, you know, I'll take that opportunity to interview you.
Oh, yeah, no question.
We're not going to talk about the political fund. I'd rather do that myself on another episode. If you're coming on, we're going to talk about this contract that's just been hanging in the abyss that no one knows what's going on.
Yes, exactly. We got some more pressing issues, things that are a lot more interesting when you got the man himself.
Yeah, I got him to come on, and a lot of people heard the interview. That was, as I said, the most downloaded episode of Delivering Solidarity by far, because even National was plugging the link to it.
Right. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. You have some great exposure. Okay, so you get Renfro on. What kind of... Well, go ahead. Expand on that.
Just unfortunately, almost everything he said on there ended up not being true.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a problem with Renfro, isn't it?
Getting worse and worse with that guy.
Because he lied directly to you. You know, came on, used your platform to spread this bogus narrative. What are some of the things that stick out to you that like really stick in your craw about him coming on, or things that people have given you an especially hard time about? Yep.
Honestly, one thing that I did not include in the episode was I asked Brian a question after the episode that ended up being a lie.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that really stuck out to me.
Which
he was talking so much about the clothing allowance thing.
Oh yeah.
I asked him, directly. I said, so if you can't get management to agree to a system that increases that clothing allowance, would that be enough for you to impasse the national agreement to arbitration?
Okay.
And he said, yes, it absolutely would.
Wow.
And then we get the TA, right. And it's the same uniform system.
Yeah. They did increase the allowance, though, Fred. You got to give them that. We got like $30 more, you know, enough to buy half a shirt.
Yeah, they increased the allowance by $30 and increased the shipping by $40.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude. Yeah, that, you know, the list is long of ways that he misrepresented what would be in the tentative agreement. And, yeah, to have him come on. So what did other carriers say to you or other people about having Renfro on? I know you touched on it a little bit and said that, like, oh, you should have asked him tougher questions. But what generally, you know, what did people say?
Well, let me begin by saying I have a background of doing this union stuff for roughly a decade. So I have experience dealing with national officers in a union capacity.
Right.
And not to sound like an old man talking about when I was a kid, but, you know, the way I was raised in the union system is you kind of treat people with respect, even if they're pieces of crap by the position that they have.
Okay.
So I tried to treat the guy with respect because he is our national president, and had a conversation with him, tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, which I continued to do for several episodes after that, because I'm like, maybe there's something here I'm just not seeing.
Right, sure.
That makes this justifiable.
Yeah, clearly he has more information than we do, so maybe he's right. Yeah.
And as you've alluded to before, we have conversations sometimes where you'll be going into a particular situation in your branch, and in your head it plays out a certain way, and then I'm always like the cynical voice, like, it's not going to go the way you think it is, Alan.
Yeah, and you're usually like, right.
And there's that, so I always have it in my head, like, maybe everybody else is just kind of crapping on this guy because that's the cool thing to do, and that's what everybody's doing, and maybe there's something that not everybody's seeing right now.
Right.
And then, you know, I eventually got to the point where I just told my honest thoughts about the tentative agreement. And
yes, you did.
All bets were off.
Yeah, that's another episode that's worth going back and re-listening to, because you call it, man. You lay it bare. You definitely lay down what's wrong with this tentative agreement. So, all right. So now, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say everything is still wrong with this national agreement.
Yeah, that it is. And we got it whether we wanted it or not, obviously. I mean, yeah, we see the end result now. So you have him on, and the interview, you know, it is what it is. But that's not the last time you talked to Brian Renfroe. You've had interactions with him since then. Because you're a branch president, you get to go to, like, committee of presidents meetings, and Renfroe is there. You got to ask him more questions. So tell the listeners about how that went, like what you asked him and what kind of responses you got.
I was asking questions about the actual contract aspect of the tentative agreement. And I started really losing faith in him, basically, when he was giving me answers. For instance, I asked the question, because we're splitting the overtime list now, he said that there's going to be two separate equitability grievances, one for the people that are on the work, your regular work days, and one for the people that sign up to work their NS days.
Right.
So I said, okay, so if, for example, if I'm on the NS day list only and I'm owed a makeup in the next quarter, but I decide this quarter I'm going to be on the regular work days and not the NS day list, I said, does that transfer over between the lists, the makeup?
That's a great question, Fred.
You know what he said to me?
I do, but tell the listeners.
In front of a room full of presidents, he says, well, that's all going to depend on how it goes when y'all start filing grievances.
You know.
So
go ahead.
I followed up and said, so what you're telling me is it could be enforced differently in every single office in my branch.
The guy had a year and a half to iron this stuff out. And, like, somehow that never came up during the negotiations. So what was his answer to that?
He said nothing. He moved on to the next question.
You know, it's disappointing, but not surprising. That is about what we expect from Renfroe at this point. Yeah, some of
especially
those really
most
basic
of these things.
Go on.
He said he already had JCAM language ready for, and he didn't even consider this basic question. That was one of the first things that popped into my head.
Yeah. Yeah, it is ridiculous. And then there was also the question of, if you are on work assignment, can you get on the overtime list for your day off? Because your day off is separate. You know, it's its own separate thing. So it seems to me like if you're on either the 8-hour list or the work assignment list, you should be able to get on the 8 hours on your day off list, because those don't conflict. But what's the status of that?
Not according to Brian's contract.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, how could you can work your day off if you're 8 hours only, but you can't work your day off if you're work assignment? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, basically, because for some reason, They decided that it conflicts. If you want a sign to be able to work your day off, you're not allowed to finish your route on the days you're regularly here.
Sure. Why would you be able to? So, you know, this came up on a previous episode of Classes of Mail where you and I had talked, and I said, yeah, Fred might be working on something like this in his local. Well, now we're into the local negotiating period. Is that on the table? I understand, like, things are not finalized, that, you know, that's we're negotiating now. How does that stand? Is that even going to be available for negotiation, or is it settled that that conflicts with the contract?
Under normal circumstances, I would be hesitant to discuss local negotiations at all, because, you know, talking about anything could bar anything from happening.
All right.
But I will say, I've been involved with the branch for a few contracts now.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time we get a local negotiation period, typically we have to reach out to management if we're interested in doing anything, or we just don't hear from them during that 30-day period.
Right.
Now, almost every single office in my branch has sent me a form letter that they got from labor saying that they have noticed things that are in conflict with the new national agreement, and every single one of them is interested in opening local negotiations now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something I heard about on 8 Arbitration as well, is that they're going to try to claw stuff back and try to take away some of the things that we've negotiated for in the local. Can you give an example of what management is like has sent in these form letters? Do they get into specifics?
Well, if you give me a second, I could pull up the form letter.
Oh, well, you
one
know
of them actually emailed me the template.
I am all about didn't reading even, stuff on here. Yeah, get it.
He didn't even bother to update it and put in the information for his office.
Oh, does it still say in brackets, like, insert your office here?
It sure does.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, when you're ready, man, give it a read. Fred is still grabbing his grabbing the template. And we will hear what management is trying to do to us all around the country. Dude, this is an unexpected bonus. This was not on my 10 sheet of prepared items, but I'm glad we're getting into it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go for it.
Okay, so it says, subject, Article 30 Local Negotiations, Letter of Intent. Our review of the current local memorandum of understanding for insert office here reveals that there are provisions that management is interested in changing and or adding, or in our judgment, are inconsistent and or in conflict with new or amended provisions of the 2023-2026 National Agreement. There may be other provisions that you believe should be considered for discussion. It is management's sincere hope that we can discuss these provisions openly and reach a mutual agreement. While we will bargain in good faith toward achieving this end, it is only fair to inform you that management will not agree to continued inclusion of any provision which is impermissible by the terms of Article 30 of the National Agreement. Article 30 of the National Agreement also contains provisions for binding arbitration of any impasse issues or proposals remaining in dispute. However, I am confident that our efforts in negotiations will result in a fair, reasonable and equitable local memorandum of understanding. For meetings to commence on these issues or any other issues that are proper subjects for consideration under Article 30, it is important that we meet as soon as possible in order to establish ground rules for local implementation meetings. Please contact me at phone to set up an initial meeting.
All right, I got to interrupt. I got to interrupt.
Supervisor name here.
Does your copy, it says phone, it says contact me at phone? They didn't even do that.
Yeah, it's in brackets. They literally attached a doc to this and just emailed it to me.
Oh my god, that is awesome.
So wow. I have 22 offices in my branch, 22 separate installations, and right. I've gotten this letter from the majority of them.
Wow.
So what do you think I did?
Tell me, Fred.
I sent a letter back.
Okay. Don't keep me in suspense. What's your letter say? How'd you respond?
Well, I'm trying to open it now. Okay. I'm dealing with the phone here, so we got to ad lib for a second. So
no problem.
Go ahead and talk while I open this.
Okay. Yeah, so we have this obviously going on all around the country. Corey talked about the LMOUs are going to be opened, and there are things that management is going to work on. Now, the contract is very specific that the items in your local memorandum cannot be in conflict with the national agreement. I don't think the national agreement has changed dramatically enough that suddenly a bunch of LMOUs are going to be in conflict. And it bothers me that this form letter says right off the bat that there are things that conflict with the national agreement. They don't know that in your local. It's different in every local. But this is typical of that management one-size-fits-all solution where they're just going to come in and try to, you know, claw back who knows what. I mean, I guess we're starting to see that now, what they're actually trying to take away from carriers. Fred, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. What'd you write back?
So I sent this letter back to all of the interested postmasters because I'm not trying to shut down the negotiation process, but when they're going to send me a template, I'm going to respond to that template.
Sure.
Make them do a little bit of work. So I sent them a letter back. This is response to Article 30, Local Negotiations Letter of Intent.
Okay.
NALC Branch 385 represents 22 separate installations. Thus far, we have received the same copy and pasted template letter from almost every installation in our branch. Additionally, there is only a 30-day window to conduct all of these negotiations. With 22 LMOU contracts to negotiate within our branch, it is essential to clarify management's intentions deeper than the template we've been supplied. In order to facilitate negotiations on this scale, it is essential that management openly convey their intentions in this round of bargaining. While the union is always open to bargaining in good faith over anything, especially the LMOU for each installation, it is imperative that management realize the union will not agree to any changes that would harm the city letter carrier craft or take away members' rights. The union is of the mindset that most of our LMOU contracts are functional and do not require modification. We will, however, approach any management requests or suggestions with an open mind before rendering a final decision. And then I put this part in bold and underlined it.
Uh-huh.
If you are sincere about modifying your installation's LMOU, please furnish a complete list of all items pertaining to your specific LMOU that management is interested in changing slash adding,
nice,
or that management believes is for some reason in conflict with the new or amended provisions of the 2023-2026 national agreement. Once I receive this list, I will contact you directly to schedule a sit-down meeting to negotiate. Furthermore, to address the management will not agree to continued inclusion of any provision which is impermissible by the terms of Article 30 of the National Agreement segment. Since no LMOU contract in NALC Branch 385 has been altered in more than two cycles of the National Agreement, no provisions which are included in any LMOU contract beyond the scope of Article 30 provisions are eligible to be impassed, as right, they have been agreed to and in place for more than two contract periods. Any such challenges need to have been rendered in the immediate following round of LMOU negotiations, which did not happen.
Look
at
you.
And then I signed it and sent it to all the postmasters.
Dude. So have any of them responded to that yet?
No, not yet, because this part actually requires them to do some work and actually look at their local.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They've got to actually scratch their heads for a second, and that's not usually what they like to scratch.
No, my impression, because we never got letters like these from management before, was that they were trying to blindside us with something and kind of attack us from all sides at once by having every office send this at the same time.
Sure.
So I'm not trying to shut down negotiations, but I have 22 offices that could potentially need to bargain with me, and they need to give me a little bit more specifics than this template that just says some vague things we're in conflict and we want to sit down.
Right. If they think something's in conflict, they should be able to very specifically point to it and say, this is in the local, it conflicts with this part of the national agreement. But obviously, that's not what they're doing.
I know most of these postmasters very well, and some of them have openly told me that they're only sending me this template letter because labor instructed them to.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Good times. So
this way, they followed instructions. They sent me the letter. I sent them a letter back with a tracking number to show that we didn't just ignore this.
Right.
And if they really want to negotiate, all they have to do is send me a list of things that they're looking at changing.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, good work, Fred. I'm very curious to hear how this plays out in your 20-something AOs that, you know, all these other postmasters that you have to deal with. Should be interesting. All right.
I did notice, too. We have one office that was added to our branch.
Okay.
By Brian Renfro. He just told them they're part of our branch now.
All right.
And that's the one office we don't have an LMOU for.
Oh.
So I had to send them a letter because I didn't get this template letter from them.
Nice. That's really interesting. Well, I'm sure we're going to have some conversations about that as we're out walking our respective routes. Good times. Okay, so before we get out of here.
We don't talk on the phone while we're out delivering mail.
No, and certainly don't tell my supervisor that I have earbuds in all day. No. Okay, so before we get out of here, I want to know why you started delivering Solidarity. Like, what was the inciting incident or the motivation that you're like, you know what, I got to get in front of this microphone and I have to reach out to people? What is the genesis of your podcast?
Well, when I became the branch president, I noticed pretty consistently we had the same 20 to 35-ish people that come to union meetings every single time.
Yep.
And that generally usually includes the e-board members, but sometimes we hit 40s because we're a nice mid-sized branch. And when I talk to carriers, I realize that there's basic things like common knowledge to the people that are involved in the union that the everyday carrier on the workroom floor doesn't know.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so I wanted to be able to reach a more broad audience. Originally, the intent was to reach all the carriers in my own branch. And then I realized that I could go even bigger than that with the podcast and talk to just any letter carrier that wants to listen.
Yeah. But I've noticed that you still keep that in your podcast, that you talk about that we're going to have bowling at this place, or that the meeting is going to be at this banquet hall or whatever. And that's still a part of your podcast to this day.
Yeah. To this day, I try to keep my branch informed, and I also try to reach out to the masses with the knowledge that applies to everybody.
That's it, man. That is good work. I certainly appreciate you doing that. Oh, and then one more final thing. Fred and I both have had other podcasts aside from this postal podcast. So obviously I have the postal stand-up. But Fred, before you started doing this, you and I have talked about you had a podcast before. Is that still out on the internet somewhere, that your old podcast? If people wanted to hear like a different side of Fred Woodley?
Unfortunately, no. The podcasts that I did before, most of them were under an actual network, and the network has since shut down and all the servers are gone. I've tried finding it before.
Right. Okay. That's too bad. I was going to send people on a quest. Just for interest, just for fun, tell people what the topic was.
Depending on the show, it was all video game related.
Right.
At one point, I was on a Minecraft podcast.
Look at that. And Minecraft has blown up. You're part of the explosion, Fred. Minecraft wouldn't be where it was today without Fred Woodley hyping it up on his podcast.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, look at that. Jack Black should take you out to dinner.
The bulk of my podcasting was about Star Wars, and specifically Star Wars The Old Republic.
Dude, it's a great game.
Yeah. Right on. So I decided to use the old knowledge from doing podcasts to create Delivering Solidarity.
Well, we're glad you did. This has worked out really well. Your podcast is definitely one of the ones that I listen to as soon as it downloads. I do not miss an episode. And Fred, I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate the good work you're doing. And by the way, listeners, we are doing a Home and Home series where, as soon as we finish recording this episode, Fred is going to turn his recorder on and he's going to interview me. So don't just listen to Classes of Mail. Get over to Delivering Solidarity and download the episode over there too, because the conversation will continue with whatever it is we're going to talk about next. I don't know. Fred will be in charge of that. So, Fred, thank you again for coming on.
Do you know offhand when this episode is going to release?
Let's see. Probably Tuesday, which would be, June 2nd? That is my tentative plan, is to release it on June 2nd. 2025.
Second would be Monday.
Oh, okay. Then June 3rd. Tuesday, June 3rd.
Okay. Should I schedule a simultaneous release so that people don't hear the second half of the conversation and then have to come find you for the first half?
Fred, if I could schedule simultaneous releases, my wife would like me a lot more than she currently does. Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, if you have we get irreverent over on Classes of Mail from time to time, but nowhere near as irreverent as we get on my other podcast, the Scafacciverse, but that's for another time. So yeah, we can work that out offline. All right.
Okay. So we'll figure it out, guys, yeah, but this is half one.
And there you go. Part one. There you go. Yeah. So, whatever the case, you know, when people are listening to this, please go over to Delivering Solidarity, download all of Fred's episodes, make sure you subscribe, share, things like that. There are so many good postal podcasts out there, and Fred has one of them. So, with that said, Fred, thank you very much for coming on. I am Alan Gygax. This has been Classes of Mail, and we will catch you all next time.
Take care, everybody.